Hi, and welcome back to the How to Faith Life podcast. Today, I have my, I have my handsome Joseph here.
Wait a second, I thought this was the Joe Show.
It is. It's the Joe Show. Okay. People only come here for you.
Thanks. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for coming to my party.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's Joe's wife. Fine, I'll listen to her ramble.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we're going to answer some questions for my Patreons. Let's dive in.
You're listening to the How to Faith a Life podcast, where we wrestle with questions on how to live a life of faith. From everything from books to Bible studies, even Bible study tips, this is your place to wrestle with the hard questions and dive deep into what scripture really says for the Christian walk. Make sure you've subscribed to this podcast on your favorite podcast streaming services, review this podcast so other people can find it, and share with other believers who want to ask the hard questions. Now, with all that said, let's begin.
I have the most incredible Patreons. If you guys don't know, Patreon is like a crowdsourcing website on so people can fund creators on the internet. People like me who make videos, make art, make music, they might have Patreon pages, and then people fund that and they get extra perks. And so I've had a Patreon page for what, 2 years now? Going on to, about to enter into our third year, I think.
Wow.
I know. Thank you guys. I know a lot of them, especially the ones who are in my top tier. We meet every Tuesday night. We're meeting tonight. Super excited. And they are some of the most incredible, generous, sweet, and kind people out there. And so I wanted to answer their questions I just asked on our little app where we talk. And we got some questions in. I read through one of them, and it's already jumping in deep. It's from Jessica or Jessa.
The app that they could talk on is so cool.
It's so cool.
I'm a little bit behind right now, but like the Joe's discussion. On there, yeah. The support, the community aspect, I love so much. The Q&A, I love to interact with and be a part of. It's super neat to see questions that people have and try to just answer a little snippet.
Yeah, it's really cool. And so, like, let me just, before we get into the questions, so we're on an app, and there's, like, different channels of communication. So we've got, like, one channel that's, like, what I'm learning in my Bible reading right now, another one that's Q&A, another one that's prayer requests or prayers answered, another one that's just for the people that are my Bible reading plan, another one, like, the books that we're reading, one for wedding days, because we have two very active members that just got married or getting married, one that's just random stuff, another one that's just Bible journaling ideas, another channel that's birthdays, another one to just like introduce yourself to the group, a 5 second moment, which is like a highlight moment for your day. I shared on there today, the video I sent you, I texted you. Anyway, we have a bunch of different channels, and then when you click on them, people can like ask questions, post things, you can respond just to that post. And so it's very cool, like no matter what time zone you're in, because I have Patreons from all over the world, people can be involved and all be having this conversation without it interrupting other conversations. Like, you know, it's organized. So it's really cool. Really like the app. I really love the conversations that we're having, and I've really gotten to know mostly it's women that are my Patreons, and getting to know them really well and see their heart and just like live life alongside of each other, sending videos or articles or asking questions and stuff. And so I just love it. And I was honestly really nervous about starting this because my emails and my messages and everything, it's constantly, consistently overwhelming me. But the way that they like answer each other's questions and pray for each other, it's like, y'all don't even need me. Praise the Lord. Cause I was worried like, oh, more work, you know, like more emails to respond to and things like that. But it's really been just so amazing. And guys like totally met us, and Joe's on there. Also, I'm a lot more personable with my Patreons. Like I've learned to kind of not share as much of my personal life, like our house and things like that, even our boys on the internet, just because there's so many creeps and weirdos and even just judgy people that like, if they see like 5 seconds of your life, they think that they know your life, you know? So I don't share as much on my YouTube channel. Like I don't share vlogs or anything like that anymore. And I post like weekly vlogs on Patreon and just share a lot more of like the intimate details of our life there. And so it's just fun still being able to share that and be creative like that, but not for the whole internet to see. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Joe was very goofy and shared a very embarrassing story in this weekend's vlog. I included it when our babysitter drove down the driveway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Wow, yeah.
If you're a Patreon and you haven't watched this past weekend's vlog, you're missing out. Oof. We went on date night, on hikes. I realized there was two walks, like long walks that we went on in one vlog. Look at us being so nature-y.
Look at that.
Anyway, let's begin. Okay, the first question is from Jessa or Jessica. Question, I have heard that you mentioned before that there are errors in the KJV or the NKJV, so I've been reading and watching YouTube concerning textual criticism, trying to learn why. And she goes on about like specific issues in First John and things like that. What are your thoughts on this and reading from the KJV, NKJV for deep dive studies on scriptures and historical history or the word? And then she said, side note, I think I'm letting all the differences in scripture get in the way of actually focusing on getting to know God through his word, because I'm constantly comparing and questioning which is the most accurate. Queen of overthinking. I get that. It's really easy to overthink all of this. And I wouldn't by no means say that like we're KJV haters or NKJV haters. Joseph, do you want to begin? Because I'll probably take the rambly approach.
Yeah, certainly. So two things I'd like to point out or mention. One is, I've said it before, the best Bible approach, the best Bible translation is the one that you will pick up and read. So if there's a translation of Bible that you go with, I would encourage you to pick up and read it and go with it. Wouldn't so much get concerned with which translation is best as far as like daily Bible studies and devotions go. I think it's good to just plow through and read what you're going to read. And you can go and like look on various translations. Like before I preach a text, I will read like 10 different translations on the text. I'll preach from one translation or talk about one or two different translations or make two different points from the Greek text itself. But as far as that goes, just like picking one. All right, and then secondly, I would say, like, what was my second point?
Oh, I don't know. This is all you, boo.
Can you cut this out or not?
Yeah, that's fine. I can cut this out, or I can leave it in just for their entertainment.
Oh, good.
Podcasts are so casual.
Yeah, that's great. So there's a point where you are going with the close translation of the original language. So you go with the closeness of what's going to be best. But also, that doesn't flow as well into the English language when you're just looking at like what is the closest translation, because there's different orders of things, there's different words. And so I think it's important to read close to the translation, but it's also important to see what you understand the most. And I think today the King James Version or the New King James Version oftentimes deals with some outdated word choices, and they're outdated word choices that don't as closely reflect the original language.
Yeah.
And so I think it's important to see the words from the original language and also see words that you understand. So there's the words from the original language that's closely translated to what we can pick up on and read, and there's also the translations that we can best understand. And I think sometimes the King James Version, New King James Version, doesn't match those translations as much with the outdated words that it uses.
Yeah. And we have talked about this a little bit on my channel. I've made videos about, you guys can check out, like, I have a whole playlist on, like, I think it's called Bible Translations, I believe. But you'll see if you just like look through the playlist on my channel. We've talked about the spectrum. Sorry if you guys can hear the train. We've talked about the spectrum of Bible translations, like literary dynamic. Like I've talked to them about this. But like it's just really, it's really, really, really important to make sure that you're not reading a Bible translation because someone told you that it's the best Bible translation, but that you're reading the Bible. You're holding it like any translation. You're holding it as... Now, I got to be careful because I haven't checked out, like, the Passion translation or something. Like, apparently my winger is, like, tearing up that one. I genuinely don't even know. I need to look into that. But, like, we want to understand that translations, they all have their own different uses and their own historical situation. So, like, why was the message written? Like, for a purpose and for use. And while it's super dynamic equivalent, super thought-for-thought translation and not word-for-word translation, it might could totally have a use. And I know there's some haters of the message, but, like, it has a use. It has a heart to it, a purpose or a mission to it. Same with, like, the NLT, same with the ESV. Like, they all have... almost like how books of the Bible have their own historical situation. Like the KJV had its own historical situation. And we've talked a little bit about literary criticism, or textual criticism, I should say. We've talked a little bit about that here on my channel, and it's just really important. Like, the KJV is older. It's older, and we've found the Dead Sea Scrolls since then. Our language itself, like, we don't talk in thou and thou'st. Not last night, but Sunday night, I was teaching the kids that we're teaching through the Lord's Prayer. And I taught them the phrase, this week we were discussing what it means, like, thy kingdom come. Why do we pray that? Why did Jesus teach us to pray that? And I asked them, I said, what does thy mean? And they say, the? What about it? They were guessing everything wrong. I was like, they don't know thy kingdom come. Like, they don't know what thy means in that phrase. Like, they had absolutely no idea. They were just, like, throwing guesses out there. And we say that every single Sunday in church, and they have no idea what they're saying. They have no idea what they're reciting. Wow. And so there's so much to this, but I would start with, what makes sense to you? And definitely don't just hold on to one translation. Y'all know I have the ESV translation as my main Bible, but there are some translation or there's some uses in the ESV that I would technically theologically disagree with, where they add, like, you may not disagree with this, but I disagree with the fact that they added gender to all of the section when Paul's talking about deacons, when really there's only like one line that could be gendered. Everything else was non-gendered in the Greek. And so I don't love that they make his, or I'm probably botching the summary of this issue, but they make it a male deacon when it didn't necessarily have to be. But they come from our theological tradition where all of those roles are just male in the church. And so that informed their translation. You know, and so, you know, there's going to be other theological traditions where, you know, there are female deacons and they might not love the ESV for that reason. But yeah, I still totally use my ESV and I just understand because I've studied that Greek. Oh yeah, that's really not a gender to this. The point is you're going to find an issue with every single translation because every different translation serves a different purpose and there's a spectrum of translations. And so if you're going to be in the KJV, I also encourage you to like go crazy and just like jump over to the NLT and challenge yourself because you might be like missing stuff. If you don't read it in the way that you talk and the way that you think, are you thinking in KJV language? No. So why are you reading the Bible in KJV language? You might be missing everything.
And people knock the message all the time or quite a bit. And I like wouldn't advise using the message as like the primary lens or translation. But I use the message sometimes whenever I'm looking at a harder text that like is a little bit harder to understand or I'm like, preparing a message to give to the youth, I'll read the message translation and it'll help me better understand the text maybe and how the youth might better understand the text.
Yeah, or even just like shake it up, make it new to you so that you're like, okay, wait, what is it? You know, like sometimes we just need to be like woken up. I remember when my church gave me the NLT Bible that I got after I graduated high school, it like woke me up to the scriptures. Everything was alive because I'd been reading NKJV and I had been told that like KJV was the best or NKJV was the best. And like, you know, I just was holding on to it like legalistically. And it's like, God's word is so much more dynamic than just like, just saying there's one translation that's the best. And so while we're not going to do like this topic justice, these are kind of like some of our first thoughts, our first inclinations to the topic. Is there anything else though that you wanted to add? Did I cut you off?
No.
Okay. Well,
I mean, there's so much more that could be said about
there's
that.
There's so much. And it's a whole school of thought and school of study. But I'm very anti there is one translation for everybody. Because even like me versus someone in Seattle, we're going to use different languages. We're going to use different words to define things. Or just different understandings of a word. I was raised up in the church, so I have a pretty good idea of what thy and thou'sts and stuff means. These kids in our Kingdom Kids group apparently don't.
Yeah. I'll say I was a part of a church once that the Pew Bible was New King James Version, and a lot of people, like, whenever they were looking at the text that we're going to be preaching from and reading from, I used the King James Version, the New King James Version to preach because a lot of people were picking up the hymn. I mean, not the hymn. The Pew Bible and reading along with that. And so I did appreciate a lot of the wording that was used in the New King James Version when I was preaching from it. And I grew to appreciate the New King James Version more so doing that. And then like the ESV is sort of like an updated version of the New King James Version. But there's still like some similarities and some like rootedness to the New King James Version.
I just wouldn't like throw an NKJV in a beginner's hands and be like, go enjoy God's word, because there's such a steep learning curve with just the general readability of it, especially in today's TikTok lingo world. It's just, even the sentence structure is just so different unless you're used to reading it that way. So to each his own is what I will say, and I am very not legalistic about Bible translations, and I'm not a big fan of people kind of pressing on, this is the Bible translation to read, and so I will never say like KJV is not a good Bible translation, and I don't even think that. I find it very useful, and there are some times where I'm like, oh, that's a better translation than the ESV or the NIV, but then there's other times where I'm like, eh, that's not so good, but I also understand because it's old. It's older, you know, like I understand why they might not have the best translation on, you know, whatever that is. So, okay. Hi, I have a question. I'm a new Christian and a mega nerd. I tend to use a ton of commentaries because I love the deep theology. You go, girl. This is Sam DaCosta. Because I love the deep theology part of the Bible. Do you think it's distracting from the message? Because I look really deep into each verse. It takes me a long time to get through 10 verses. Ha ha. I feel you. I mean, they're okay. Let's look. Okay, Ecclesiastes says that there is a season for everything. I would see that in my own personal life. I go through months at a time, seasons at a time, where I'm digging deep, like verse by verse, doing like word studies and verse mapping on like every single sentence. And then there's other times where it's just a season where I'm really needing like the general concept, and I'm really looking at the overall message from that book. And so I would just check yourself. Like, are you being legalistic with this? Where's your heart on this? Do you feel like you have to verse map or word study or go super deep in order to earn God's grace? Then, yo, step back. But if this is just out of enjoyment, if you have the time, if this is where you're at, do it. But again, it's not, you're not earning anything. It's out of the delight and the overflow of worship in God's word.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with going deep, diving deep, and only covering like a certain amount of verses. Again, you go through seasons. Like, I'll go through seasons where I might look at one verse for a little while, or I'll go through seasons where I'll read full chapters at a time. And yeah, if you're going deep and if you're enjoying it, I think it's great. I don't see anything wrong with it. If you are only if it's taking you a long time to cover 10 verses, and you might be going through one book of the Bible, and it takes you 5-6 months to go through one book of the Bible, and you're not looking at any other part of Scripture, I could see how you might run into some issues with that. But if you're in your personal quiet time going through a book of the Bible, and you're taking in sermons, and you're taking in more of the whole counsel of God through podcast sermons, whatever it is, while you're slowly going through a book, I don't see anything wrong with that at all. And I don't think you can run into any issues with that. Go deep, nerd out, and enjoy.
Ultimately, going deep should lead you to cross-references into other parts of the Bible. You know, the Bible as a whole, it's canonized as a whole. You know, you don't want to take like one book out of the wisdom literature and just hold on to that, because the wisdom literature needs to be taken as a whole together. Same with the epistles. You know, they kind of put each other in check. They put each other in their places because Paul's writing to different issues. I was just talking about that today in the video I just filmed. So today, for example, I just to like kind of set the tone for you, all last week I was spending a lot of time in my Bible studies. I was in a really interesting part in the scriptures that was really piquing my interest, and I was really intrigued. And so I was kind of following this theme. This week, however, I mean, it's only Tuesday, but like yesterday and today, I've like not pulled out a single resource. I'm just reading what I'm reading because I do not like the passage that I'm in. I'm struggling through it. I'm just trying to take like a bird's eye view. What's the general concept? What can I draw from this? And I'm also feeling a little bit stressed out about time and to-dos and emotionally clocked out. And so that's where I'm at this week. Like, that's for everything, there's a season. And so just give yourself grace. And your Bible study doesn't have to be perfect, because God never asked you to be perfect. And the Bible study time isn't time to like earn God's love or earn God's grace or measure up or prove yourself to the Lord. Bible study time is time to delight in his love story to us, redeeming us and teaching us, and to be sanctified and taught and rebuked, and to relish in his goodness. It's not trying to earn anything or measure up. There's no boxes to be checked here.
That would probably need to like hear that every single day.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that, and I am always like so scared to think that I could communicate that on my channel. Like, you have to go deep to earn Christian merit or something like that. And it's like, no. It has all been won on the cross and gifted to us by grace. We have been saved. Now, because we believe the Bible is true and because we want to be faithful to the Bible, we dig deep and we love it and we study it and we enjoy it because we want to be faithful to His Word and because we truly believe it.
Yeah. Go ahead and rewind the last minute and a half, record that minute and a half, and listen to it daily. It'll change your life.
Oh. Kells asked, I'm piggybacking on, the first question, on Jess's question. IDK if it's a question, but here we go. I'd love to know more about the different texts taken to create the various Bible translation. Vulgate, Septuagint, Targum, Masoretic, or however you say that, etc.
IDK means I don't care.
Did I say IDK?
Wait.
IDK if that's a question. I don't know if it's a question, but here we go.
IDK. Oh.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. IDK is I don't know.
IDC is I don't care. Yeah.
I'm so up to date on the lingo. Sorry, I messed up in my head. That's my bad. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. So the Vulgate is the Latin translation. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament.
Targum Masoretic is like the grouping of the original language translations. Like they're two different.
Oh, yeah.
So like when you're reading through like a Greek New Testament, today, they'll be like on the bottom notes, they'll be like Masoretic text.
Yeah.
Whenever people are coming up with a translation today, whenever they are translating the Bible, they are going to use the Masoretic, most likely. People, like, so the Vulgate is translated Latin from the original, but now we have like the Dead Sea Scrolls, we have things written in the original language. So any translation, any like true translation that's translated today is translated from the original languages. So it's not using like the Latin Vulgate to get its translation. It's going back to the original texts, the oldest translations that we have. And sometimes we have translations that are newer, and there's oftentimes will be like notes in your Bible that this was one of from the older transcripts, or this is out of the newer transcripts that we have,
or this is just debated,
or this isn't in all the transcripts, so
ending of Mark, this is left out of the earliest manuscripts,
yes, stuff like that. So but any like real translation today is going to be using the earliest written manuscripts that we have.
Yes. No translation is like, let's see how unfaithful we can be, or let's just hold on to tradition necessarily. Like, we're always going to want to go back to the earliest, most faithful that we can find. And that's why, you know, what we said on the KJV is what we said on the KJV. Okay, sorry. A second question. This is from Sam DaCosta again. What are your tips for getting your children close to God and knowing who He is? My son is 2 next month, and I have a children's books about Jesus and read those, but wondering what else I can do. I just started going to church, so he is in the nursery area, and when he is old enough, it will be in Sunday school. I do have a playlist. It's like Christian motherhood or something along those lines that you can check out my YouTube channel. And I recently made a video on motherhood, but I get this question all the time. And, you know, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, or he's about to be 3. So 4-year-old and almost 3-year-old, you know, the Lord is continually teaching me new tricks and tools that you can use. There's an abundance of tools and tricks. I was talking to you about this a couple months ago, and I still keep thinking about it. I feel like it would be so cool to write a children's book, like a Christian children's book, working off catechism truths or something like that. If you guys don't know, a catechism is like question and answers going through the basics of the faith. And I just think that would be so fun to do. But also, it's not necessarily needed because there's so many resources out there on YouTube and just for churches and VBS curriculums and things like that. It's just using them. It's just cutting the, you know, worldly cultural traditions that we've picked up from our parents and from culture around us and saying, you know, I'm going to interject into the next generation traditions that are fruitful. So, you know, whatever your tradition is, for me, for my family, like my parents would turn on, it's the Dallas like Christian radio station, KLTY. And they'd be like, you know, we're just going to listen to this. And this is like, you know, Christianizing this. But we had like no idea what we were seeing. It was, you know, 90s KLTY Christian music was pretty like theologically shallow, very feel good. And it was the same like 3 songs over and over and over and over and over again. And so it honestly made us pretty nominally like numb to Christian truth and to the power of the cross and things like that. And I feel like I had to like really step back from Christian radio and Christian music when I came to an older age, even though I was a strong believer, it just was, it made it too comfortable and too normal to sing about the cross. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm just like casually, like, this is big. And I, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, we had a group like that, like a group of moms in our church/school growing up where they would all listen to the same exact radio station. And like, we as kids like knew all the words to like, you know, what was going on. And we're like, well, it's lame, but it's also singing about Jesus. And so
there's just a balance to everything. It's like, why are we doing what we do? And so, like, you know, a big in our time today, in our cultural moment, like, it's big to do affirmations with your children when you're like getting them ready for school. And so I started that with our boys, but I, you know, started adding, well, Jesus loves me and I can do hard things in Christ and stuff like that.
That's really cool. I love hearing him say that. Like, she had, first of all, 91.9 the life. That was ours.
Oh.
This morning, she had our four-year-old say, I can do hard things. And he would say it, I can do hard things. And she's like, all right, now say it loud. And he's like, I can do hard things.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
Contextualizing to what your children are like interested in or whatever, like for our boys right now, they are obsessed with anything superhero. And so I started leaning into that concept of like, well, we can be superheroes, and our superpower can be preaching the gospel to the nations. And when we are weak, what is this power that we lean on? It's the Holy Spirit within us. And we call out to Jesus and we say, Jesus, I'm scared of getting my shots at the doctor. I was just giving this lecture to my son yesterday afternoon. Like, Jesus, I'm so scared. Father God, give me bravery to be a superhero and to be brave to then go, you know, get my shots at the doctor so that I'm stronger and I can go tell people about Jesus, or I can go show the love of Jesus. And just like normalizing the fact that like we have a mission. We are sent with a purpose and a plan. And I think the concept of superheroes exemplify that so great. And that's just like such a common grace thing to redeem for Christian use and discipleship is like, you know, we've had the ultimate superhero who now sends out and empowers us on a mission just the same. And we can take part in that. Very similar to the holiday Red Jolly Man, just in case any children are listening. I don't want to ruin anything. But, you know, his helpers, you know, that was the way that my parents kind of broke the sad news to me, is he has many helpers and he was a historic man. But we get to, you know, it's just, how can we redeem these things to teach our children about biblical truths? And you know, they naturally, their heart yearns for that story of a superhero that saves the woman, this brave, strong guy. And that has already been gifted to us on the cross. And now we are sent out and we are not forgotten or unimportant because we don't have big muscles. You know, it's so much more than that. There's so much more that we can disciple our children over.
That's a great holistic way to view this. And so I don't think I'm going to be able to add anything to that. But it's just like, yeah, taking the opportunities to teach and be intentional about teaching, whether it has a superhero spin on it or whatever, to give knowledge and insight. But also, like, they are watching you, and they see, yes, and they see how you interact. So there is a leading by example,
mm-hmm,
because they're watching you so much and see everything that you're doing. And as we're leading by example, and as the failures that we are, something that we can do is let them know that when we mess up and where we messed up, and like to bring that up with them, like, because they know and they see. And I know there's been like generations in the past where that never happens, but I think it can be helpful to see like the humanity side of things,
mm-hmm,
because eventually your kids do know that you messed up and that you've made, mm-hmm, mistakes. And at whichever point that they realize happens, I guess, can be like more inconsequential. So I think like being more intentional about when you mess up, or when you're not leading by example or showing them direction, to take notice of that too, and to let them know that they already see you. So talk with them about that too. So I think in those instances, you can also be showing them the gospel or being a light to them.
Yeah.
And then that's also reflective of your time with the Lord, your relationship with the Lord, and what you are thinking about and what you're feeling and the things that you surround yourself with.
I'd also say it's never too late, because I think a lot of times when we talk about like leading by example or, you know, confessing your sin to your kids and things like that, like I often hear from people like, oh, I wish I did that more, but my kids are teenagers now and they just see right through it. Or I wish I did that more, but my kids are adults now and they're living out of the house. And I'm like, you know, I still watch my parents, and y'all know I don't have a relationship with my dad. We don't even talk, and that's for healthy reasons and good boundaries. But like I still want to see that in my parents. And my mom has always done such a good example of like not trying to pretend like she has it all together and openly confessing that she's messed up, sinner, and needed Jesus. But like, you know, like we're, you know, young adults, but we still watch our parents and learn from our parents and their mistakes. We're going to see their mistakes no matter what. We might as well hear them apologize, you know, or you just at least humbly, openly admit it.
Yeah, I think teenagers especially, I mean, uh-huh. I see it all the time. Like teenagers could especially use something like that.
Yeah.
And it's never too late to start with a teenager, or if you have adult children. Yeah, I'd wholeheartedly agree. I see it all the time.
One good example of this, and I don't do this like to toot my own horn or whatever, but I think that this is a really good example of like the win with his Bible situation. Y'all know we have the Bible outlet store that we love here near us, and we go and we just get this amazing books for a discount, and it's such a blessing in our lives because we are Bible nerds. But my son has picked up the fact like that this is like one of their favorite stores now too, because we don't tell them no when it comes to like picking up another Bible. Like I'd rather my kids be Bible hoarders than, you know, anything else. Like I just delight in the word, you know. We got to start somewhere, and so we'll let them pick out like a Christian children's book, and typically they're like literally a dollar, $3 maybe. And so this most recent time he picked out a big boy Bible. It's like, you know, 2 inches thick, and it's got a ribbon in it. And so he flipped biscuits over the fact that this Bible has a Bible ribbon. He was like, I'm a big boy now. Like pull-ups, this is like a whole nother level. I am officially a big boy. My Bible has a ribbon in it. And so he's like boasting all about that on the long car drive home, and we get home and he's just going on and on about the Bible ribbon. And a few days pass and he grabs a pen. He's like, mommy, I'm gonna write my Bible now. And like my child cannot completely write his name, especially not correctly. He barely can sound out like all the different sounds that the alphabet makes. Like there's no reading, but he flipped open to Malachi and he starts, you know, underlining things and trying to take notes. Why? Because he sees his mom do that. And because he's like, there must be something there. Mommy does that.
Y'all, that is just crazy how insightful or natural it is for him to do that. Like it was amazing. Like it's not natural for me to go write in my Bible, but his was like instinctual.
It was, yeah.
This is what my mom does, and I have a big boy Bible, so this is what I'm going to do.
Like, this is what happens.
And it was just so cool. It was just so neat to see, yeah, see it happen like that.
Well, I don't think I told you this, or I don't think you were aware that this happened last night, but last night I was just emotionally spent. You know, it's just been like a long week, and I'm just like dead, so I haven't been reading, you know? Like, I've been watching TV with you in the evenings, and so when I was putting the boys to bed last night, I was rocking in the rocking chair, and I had my phone with me. And when got up out of his bed, and I was about to, like, you know, get in your bed, pull the blanket up, it's time to go to bed, boy. You know, like, I was about to, like, lay into him. Because the rule is, like, once you're in bed and mommy's done rocking you and the songs are on, which is, like, their little light that plays noise, you know, you got to be quiet and fall asleep. And then Joe and I will sit in there and we'll rock while they fall asleep. And I was sitting there rocking in the rocking chair, and normally I have my little light on and I'm reading a book. But Wynn saw that I was scrolling on my phone, and he gets up real quick and he goes, Mommy. And he pulls out his little special drawer where he keeps all of his special stuff. And he pulled that Bible out of that drawer. And he said, Mommy, you can read my Bible. Because he saw I wasn't reading. And so I like did some of my Bible reading there in his little Bible. Which, what translation is that Bible? It's definitely weird.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, look at us. We're sitting there saying, all translations are good. And then here I am 20 minutes later saying, it was a weird translation. But y'all get what I mean. It was just different translation than I'm used to. And anyway, but he had seen, like, something's off. Mommy must be sad because she's not reading a book. She's just scrolling on her phone. And it made me realize, man, he's watching me, you know, every night. He lays in bed, and as he waits to doze off into sleep, he watches me read. Yeah, it probably does look weird that I'm just scrolling. And it really kind of made me, oh, man, I'm dropping the ball. I'm just scrolling, you know. Anyway, the point is our kids see us, and they learn so much more, and it becomes instinctive more than anything else. Do with that as you like, but
And we don't have it all figured out.
We're not.
Broken and make mistakes, and Slack.
I just cursed in front of the boys the other day, and not to say that that is, like, I'm not saying that to make you guys feel better. Like, I'm saying that because I'm a broken sinner that, you know, had to immediately apologize to Joe and the boys, but I cursed in front of them, and I was so embarrassed, you know, like, who am I? What a hypocrite. You know, like, we mess it up all the time, and we're so young. We've got so much learning to do, but if you guys got any wisdom of that, from that, I hope that it encouraged you guys. If you are running the race, if you are seeking the Lord, if you are growing in your relationship with the Lord, it's going to overflow in your relationship with your kids, and they will see that transformation that God is good and faithful to bring to fruition. To fruition? However you want to say that word. Joseph, will you pray us out?
Glad to. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, for this time where we can discuss, dive into questions and answers. Lord, I pray that you will edify us, that you will draw us closer to yourself, that we may rest in your grace and your mercy today. Thank you for these questions. Thank you for giving us thoughts and ideas and motivating us and encouraging us. Lord, I pray that you will be with everyone here today. Pray for their prayer requests that are on their mind, both spoken and unspoken. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to work in our hearts and our lives, and again, draw us closer to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.